Less than 2 months away now from the start of the Indiana Pacers season, following what's been one of the more active off seasons in franchise history, which included Larry Bird stepping down, Kevin Pritchard moving up, and subsequently the hiring of Chad Buchanan as the GM, most recently coming from Charlotte. Chad is kind enough to join us now. It's been a couple of months. You came during a very busy time. How are things settling in?
It's going well. Obviously, we have a beautiful new facility, great state for basketball, and obviously taking a little different turn with our team moving forward. A lot of new faces, but I think there's a lot of excitement around the possibilities of things moving forward.
We are coming to everyone here from the St. Vincent Center. We'll touch on it a little bit more in depth later, but what a facility.
It's top notch. I mean, they have done everything to touch on everything that a player would need, a coach would need, a staff member would need in this facility. It's very cutting edge. There's a lot of space. I've had multiple comments from players and agents and just staff on how beautiful the facility is, and Mr. Simon making this investment, St. Vincent, the partnership there, it's a home run for the Pacers and for the community.
I want to go back and kind of start how your career began and how it got to this point. You played, I believe, basketball and baseball over at Simpson College. Once you were done with your playing days, did you immediately know that basketball and potentially administration was what you wanted to do?
I grew up loving basketball. My dad put a half-court basketball slab of concrete in our backyard growing up, and I just developed a love for the game, and I've always followed it. I've enjoyed watching it. I've enjoyed playing it. I always looked up to, you know, different coaches, players, teams growing up. And as I got done with my playing career at the college level, I knew I wanted to stay involved in somehow, whether it was coaching or administration, whatever it might be. And so I got my feet wet doing some coaching right out of the box once I graduated the University of Iowa as a graduate assistant. And just opportunities, you know, from there opened up different levels, different positions, and before you know it, I ended up in the NBA working for Kevin Pritchard, and just have kind of worked my way through where I'm at now today.
You've had a couple different stops with Kevin Pritchard, and I know he's spoken very highly of you, and you two know each other very well. I think your first days in professional basketball were with the newer version of the ABA out in Kansas City, where Kevin was also working. Can you take us back to that time when you're around 30 years of age or so, maybe even a touch younger, and still getting your feet wet in basketball?
Sure. I was coming from Simpson College, where I was coaching and doing a lot of different other tasks to make a living. One of those being living in the dorm with my wife, being a dorm supervisor, and, you know, breaking up fights. You know, the fire alarm gets pulled, somebody throws up in the laundry machine, whatever it is. And my wife got to the point where I had to make the choice. You either want to stay married to me and we get out of here, or you stay doing what you're doing and you don't have me around. And then luckily Kevin came along, and I had met him, you know, not too long before that, and he offered me a position with his team in Kansas City. So I moved down to Kansas City from Iowa and really developed a close bond with Kevin over that year working together, and really grew to respect what he was about, what he believed in. We had a lot of alignment in our thoughts and how we saw the game, how we believed the game should be played, what we valued in players. And so I knew this was a great match. You know, we really fit well together, and he's got a great personality, a really good person at his core. So I really appreciated and respected that. And so it just, you know, it was an interesting experience. Our team, actually, the league folded heading into our season. We were a couple weeks away from starting practice, and we'd put our team together. And at that point, minor league basketball wasn't very stable. And so, unfortunately, the season and the league shut down. So Kevin and I spent the year basically scouting players and talking basketball, which was a great experience. I missed being around the game and coaching it, but it was a great learning year for me working for Kevin.
I would guess a job like that, you have a lot of different duties, and you get to learn a variety of different aspects, which at a young age, do you feel like that was a bit of, even though it was a short period of time, a laying of a foundation at all?
Absolutely. I was coming from the college level, and this obviously, you know, the ABA was a professional level, minor league. And so I learned a lot about the pro game in talking with Kevin. Obviously, he had played at the professional level. He had coached at the professional level at that point. And I learned a lot about the pro game because it is a little different than what I was accustomed to, both recruiting talent and coaching the game and different, you know, styles of the game. So I feel like that was a great foundation for me of learning pro basketball that year, you know, just kind of picking Kevin's brain.
You move over to the Trailblazers not a whole lot later. What do you think was a key to landing yourself in that kind of job? And I know a lot of it was mainly with scouting.
Yeah, I was coaching at Drake University after my 1 year with Kevin in the minor leagues. And you know, I thought that was the route I was going to go. I thought I was going to be in college coaching for the rest of my career. And then Kevin got an opportunity with the Blazers and offered me the position as a scout. And that really appealed to me because, you know, in coaching college, there's a lot more than just the basketball. You know, there's you're dealing with academics every day. You're dealing with recruiting, I mean, 24/7. You know, you're dealing with things with the school. And so it wasn't just pure basketball. And that's what I love the most. I love being around the gym. I love being around the game. And I, at the college level, you kind of have some of that, but that's not your primary focus necessarily. And I knew that scouting would allow me to have that opportunity to be in the gym and evaluating talent and trying to help put a team together and working for a guy like Kevin, who I knew we aligned with our thoughts. I just saw it as being a great fit. And I, like I said, I took that year of, you know, picking Kevin's brain. I applied a lot of that as I learned and grew as a scout. And I think Kevin respected, you know, a lot of the things that I was doing, and we just developed a really close friendship.
Kevin, of course, has this great run of rebuilding on the fly and quickly the Trailblazers back in the mid and late 2000s. And a lot of that was through the draft, which, of course, as a scout, you were a huge part of. Did you have a feeling at that time that, you know, maybe a couple picks here could really streamline your career?
Absolutely. An organization can change quickly with one or two good drafts. You know, we see examples of that. The Washington Wizards are a great example of that. They had two phenomenal picks with two phenomenal players with John Wall and Brad Beal, and that turned their franchise around. And that's similar to what happened to us in Portland. You know, we had a couple. The draft is ultimately you're going to hit on some guys, you're going to miss on some guys. That's just the nature of the draft. But if you can get the picks in the range that can be difference makers, which we were fortunate or unfortunate enough, I guess you could say, to have, because our team, you know, took a little bit of a step backwards in Portland there. But if you can hit on the right guys, it can change the whole outlook and future of your organization. And I feel like, you know, we're in position here with the Pacers. We've got some good young talent already. If we can continue to have a couple good drafts, you know, we can get things moving in the right direction, get back to where I know our fans and our owners and all of us ultimately want to get back to.
You're here under Kevin Pritchard and with Nathan McMillan. You guys had there's the obvious connection with Kevin Pritchard, but Nathan McMillan, there was some crossover there as well. Could you ever have imagined in the mid-2000s that you all would be, in a way, reuniting like this in a different organization?
It's crazy how the NBA works. You know, it's a big, you know, the basketball is a big world, but it's really a small group of, you know, of people that work within it. And I always had the utmost respect for Nate when I was working with him in Portland. I mean, he's very diligent. He puts his heart and soul into preparing the team. He knows the game. Obviously, he was a terrific player. And I've always had a utmost respect for Nate. And to be reunited with him and Kevin here, Coach Bano's here as well. There's a lot of former people from that staff in Portland that are here in Indiana. So having some familiarity with each other and what we know what each other is about only helps, you know, build your chemistry much quicker.
Before your jump to Charlotte, you had a brief stint as the interim GM in Portland. How do you feel like, again, a short period of time, I know, but how do you feel like that experience, in which a major trade, in which was ultimately the pick that was taken with Damian Lillard, how did that experience shape you?
It was a long year. That was the year that we're coming out of the lockout, and so the season got thrust upon us pretty quickly. And so there was a lot of decisions that had to be made real quickly. And we had a team that was coming off a playoff appearance. We had a veteran team. And we went through, I think, my first week leading into training camp, we had three of our marquee core players, Brandon Roy, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Greg Oden, all deal with a significant injury heading into the season. So it was kind of thrown into the fire with, felt like our tornado had run through our office like a day before the training camp was supposed to start. So it got off to a tough start, and I learned a lot that season about, you know, not reacting too much to the highs and lows of an NBA season. Ultimately, we're all competitive. All of us are. We all want to win. You want to play well each and every night. But 82 games is the length of an NBA season is built. You're going to have highs and lows. And I learned through the course of that season, you got to stay steady. You know, don't overreact to a 3 or 4 game winning streak. Don't overreact to a 3 or 4 game losing streak. Stay as steady and consistent as you can. I think that's the biggest thing I took away from that season, because there were so many highs and lows to that season that I feel like that I learned a lot from it and grew from it.
the fans here, of course, know Greg Oden's story well. He's from Indianapolis, played here at Lawrence North. Curious from your perspective, from a scouting perspective, a front office perspective, obviously his career frustrating in that he couldn't stay healthy, and I know he very frustrated by that, as you would imagine. From your angle, how frustrating was it watching a guy that had as much talent as probably anyone, but not able to be on the court?
Well, the first time I saw Greg was actually here in Indianapolis. His high school team played Tyler Hansbrough's high school team over at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And I remember sitting courtside watching him go through the layup line. And as the game started and progressed, I mean, there are certain guys that you watch, and the first time you see him, you get a tingle. And you walk away just with, you can't get him out of your mind. You're just, you see the potential. You see, you know, the tools in your mind. You project, okay, in 5, 6, 7 years, this guy could be one of the best players in the NBA if everything lines up for him. And the more work you do on Greg, you talk to the people who know him, who've played with him, who've coached him, you learn that he's just a top-notch person. And he's about the team. He's unselfish. He wants to win. He cares about his teammates. He's very coachable. So everything was lining up. Like, this kid could be really a generational-type talent. And then, you know, he goes through a successful season at Ohio State, you know, plays with his left hand, takes the team to the – helps lead him to the national championship game. And so it was all adding up for Greg. And then, unfortunately, you go through the injuries that he dealt with and some of the things off the court that he had to deal with, the pressure of being the number one pick in the draft, you know, people talking about his future and who he could become. And it's understandable that he went through some of the trying times personally – dealing with injuries where it's really out of your control. And so it was, you know, when he was on the court, our team was a different team. We were, when we had Greg, Brandon, LaMarcus Aldridge all on the court together, I think there was a total of 62 games, I believe, and we won 50 of them. So we saw if those guys could have stayed together, what could our team have been? Could we have been a team that was competing for a championship? We felt like we could have been. But, you know, ultimately injuries, you know, are a big part of our league, and you know, end up getting the better of Greg and his career. And I feel horrible for Greg as a person because he's a good, good guy who wanted to please people. He wanted to be what everybody wanted him, expect him to turn into as a player. And when he couldn't do that, he felt awful about it. And I'm still, you know, friends with Greg today, talk with him, stay in touch with him, and will always be, you know, a fan of him as a person, number one. And just feel disappointed that he didn't experience, you know, the level of play I think he could have turned into.
Personally, after your time in Portland comes to an end, you move over to Charlotte. Why was that the right opportunity for you?
It's a good question. I love Portland. Portland is a great organization with great ownership, great people working there, and it's a great place to live. And the Northwest is, you know, a beautiful part of the country, and my wife and family really grew to love living out there. And we've been there 10 years, and Charlotte, their general manager, Rich Cho, was somebody I had some experience with working in Portland for a little bit. And I always liked Rich, what he was about. And I knew he was trying to turn the things around in Charlotte. And, you know, the opportunity to go work for him, you know, an assistant GM role was appealing to me. You know, I didn't know much about Charlotte. And it was kind of, you know, I was ready for maybe to do, try something new. And so it was 3 years working for, I've been very fortunate. Kevin, Rich, you know, I've spent a lot of my career working with are both people I consider friends, number one, and have a lot of respect for as people, regardless of the basketball component. So I feel fortunate that I was, you know, able to work, you know, with both of those guys. And the last 3 years with Rich, I've learned a lot about, you know, the cap. I've learned a lot about managing, you know, the budget and different things that Rich is really strong at. And I felt like we complemented each other well. I'm more of a basketball guy. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we really complemented and worked together well. And like I said, I've always thought the world of Rich as a person. That's important to me, and whether I work with somebody that I have a lot of respect for.
Does moving to a new team in a new city, does it broaden your perspective?
Yeah, it does. I'm originally from Iowa, so you know, being in the Midwest again, it feels like kind of a sense of home to me. The people here are very similar to what you grew up with in Iowa, just good people who value hard work, who I know our fans are about. Guys who play the right way, you know, they're going to respect and, you know, support a team that is going to play unselfish, that's going to play hard every night, that's going to be, you know, an exciting team to watch. And it feels like I'm back at home again to a certain degree. And obviously I have a lot of friends and family still in Iowa, so we're a little closer to them than we were in Portland and Charlotte. So they're excited to be, you know, a little closer as well.
You fast forward now to the end of this most recent Pacers season. Larry Bird decides that he's going to step down into a different role, and it's Kevin Pritchard who is taking his spot. I'm sure you are fairly close with Kevin and have kept tabs with him. The moment that happens, do you immediately see an opportunity, a potential for an opportunity?
Not necessarily. I mean, Kevin and I have always been really close. You know, when I was working for Portland, he was with Indiana, and then I was with Charlotte, and he was with Indiana. We always, you run into each other a lot on the road. You talk on the phone. You know, he knows my family well. I know his family well. So there's, you know, just natural friendship. And, you know, when the changes occurred with Larry and Kevin, you know, I, you know, reached out to him to said, hey, congratulations. And, you know, before you know it, we started talking about, you know, Kevin was looking to maybe, you know, add somebody to the staff. And, you know, he's got a great staff here in place already, but he wanted to add another person to it. And, you know, asked if I was, you know, interested in joining him again. And, you know, at the time it was, I was happy in Charlotte, but, you know, this was another great opportunity to, you know, become a different role as a general manager. And like I said, working for somebody I have a lot of respect for. So it wasn't an easy choice, because I had a great situation in Charlotte, but I also knew that this felt right. And I knew that I was going to enjoy working with Kevin and what he was trying to do with this organization moving forward. That appealed to me, you know, building a team, in a great state that loves basketball. And so there was just too many things that were adding up to, you know, to say, hey, this is a great opportunity. I got to jump at it.
It's with a different franchise in a different city, but does it feel like there's some continuity with Kevin?
Absolutely. I mean, when we started, the first day I joined him, you know, at the start of free agency, it felt like there's no transition period. You know, we know each other. I know how he thinks. He knows how I think. He knows how, you know, we operate together. So there was no feeling out process. And Peter Dinwiddie's been great as well. So there was a lot of chemistry instantaneously, which helps when you're making decisions and having to make, you know, tough calls and discussions. We just picked up right where we left off.
You've been here, I think, a little bit over a month now. How does the process work? I mean, you obviously work for Kevin and you're a major part of his decision-making process. He has the final say, but getting to that final say, what's the process like?
Well, Kevin provides the overall vision for our organization. And it's my job to help, you know, bring things to his plate to make decisions on, to help him see his vision play out. That involves talking to the other 29 teams about trades, you know, interacting with the agents of our players, of other teams' players, helping, you know, accumulate talent, working with Ryan Carr, Director of Player Personnel, on finding the right pieces to help build what Kevin wants this vision to look like moving forward. And I'm really here to support Kevin. And, you know, Kevin has such a creative mind and is a very outside-the-box thinker. And I'm kind of here to help implement his ideas the best that I can. But he's the one who's providing the broad picture and the overall long-term vision for the organization. It's my job to help make it work.
How would you describe your style, and has that changed at all over the years?
I'm Midwest guy, you know, probably no different than you. You grew up in Carmel. I grew up in Des Moines. So I'm very, you know, I like to be low-key. I'm very respectful, I feel like, to other people. I try to, you know, understand their perspective the best I can. You know, I have an idea in mind what I want, what I believe in, and I try not to sway from that. And I have, you know, certain core values that I stick to that I'm a big believer in, and that will never change. But I also feel like I want to represent the Pacers, you know, the community, the state, the best I can to everybody I come across with.
Is doing a job like this different right now than 10 years ago? And if so, how?
Absolutely. It's much different. If you look back 10 years ago, you know, the cap obviously has really skyrocketed. Right. The amount of money that players are, you know, receiving in our league, you know, the negotiations are much different than they were 10 years ago. The facilities are much different than they were 10 years ago. And at the core, our game is much different. The game has become much faster. There's more possessions. There's more three-point shots going up. There's more shots at the rim. There's less of a post-up game. And so that ultimately impacts your scouting, which I believe is the core of our organization. The talent on the court, you know, drives everything with our business and our organization. And you're looking for a little bit different type of player than you were 10 years ago to fit the way the game is being played. Because if you're not going to, you know, progress with how the best teams are now playing and try to put together a team that can compete and ultimately beat those teams, then you're behind the times and you're not going to progress as a team, as an organization.
You've talked in other interviews about the use and the importance of analytics with anything in basketball, but specifically here to your job. And this is a broad question, but in what ways do analytics ultimately end up help making a decision, whether it's a free agent, a draft pick, a guy to scout?
Well, there's several different areas that go into any personnel decision. Obviously, you're looking at talent. You're looking at athleticism. You're looking at the psychological piece. You're looking at the medical piece. You're looking at the intel piece. What do people, how do they describe him? What kind of person is he? And the analytic piece, it just falls as another component to that. I wouldn't say it's the, you know, we're not basing our decisions primarily on analytics, but we do factor that in, just like we'd factor in a person's health or medical history, just like we factor in what their psychological makeup is, just like we factor in, you know, their age. You know, there's all these different pieces that all come together when you make a decision on a player. But analytics is something that I would never make a decision on a player without knowing what our analytics people feel about them. I'm not going to always agree with what they say. I may not. If they recommend, you know, if we're deciding between two players and they recommend one player, that doesn't mean I'm always going to, you know, push for that. And Kevin is the same way. But we want to make sure we gather as much information as we can from every angle. You know, there's a lot of very intelligent people in the analytical world, including our staff here, that have a good perspective that we'd be crazy to not listen to and at least take into account when we make our decisions on players.
You look at Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis, two of the newest Pacers. What about those guys gives you hope for not just an immediate success level, but one down the line? I know Kevin talked a little bit about how it that trade allows you guys to not have to wait 2-3 years down the road on draft picks. It allows this process to happen more quickly.
Yeah, you know, a couple things with both those guys that they both have. They're both high character guys. They're both hungry, and they're both far from their, you know, who they're going to be as players. They're still developing and emerging as talents. And I think both of those guys, especially Victor, is going to be in a situation where, you know, playing in Oklahoma City like those guys were, you're playing with the MVP of the league who has a lot of possessions, a lot of usage. He's taking a lot of shots. So those guys had to kind of figure out, okay, how do I fit in with this player? Whereas then that can be a challenge. You know, you're coming here to our organization where we have some young players in place, but, you know, you're going to have more of an opportunity to play well, to produce, and to grow as a player. And I think both of those guys are, like I said, you know, their character, their personality, what they're about was important for us moving forward to get as many guys who fit that type of model. And I feel like both of those guys have really bright futures here.
Victor playing college at IU, people here know his story and how good he is and what he did at IU and what he's done in the NBA so far. Domantas is, I think, a little bit of an unknown more for this fan base. Who is he? What can he be? Where's his ceiling?
I would be surprised if our fans don't grow to really appreciate what Domantas is about. He is all about the team. He's tough. He's hard-nosed. He's going to do all the little things that maybe your casual fan doesn't see and appreciate. And he's going to do it consistently each and every day. He's very hard on himself, which is a good quality, but it can be a bad quality for a young player. And we're trying to help him understand, hey, we're going to be patient with you. You're very young. You've played 1 year in the NBA. You started for a playoff team last year. You got good experience. But, you know, we see good things for you down the road. And he's one of those guys, I think you could put him with any team, and he's going to find a way to help that team win. And there are certain players who have certain skills and strengths that maybe won't fit in certain styles of play, whereas Domantas has such a great feel for how to play. He's got innate toughness. He's very coachable, and he's about winning. And those are characters that you can't always check the boxes off on every guy that, you know, is playing in our league right now. So we feel like while he may not have, like, he's not a sexy player who's, you know, dunking the ball and making highlight passes and, you know, running up and down the floor like a gazelle, but he's a rock solid, consistent, steady player, which as a coach and as, you know, from a front office perspective, we appreciate that. You know that Domantas is going to bring it every night.
As the league has made this transition into being more versatile and fours that can play five and three at times, if you have a lineup on the floor, let's say it has a Miles Turner and a Domantas Sabonis on the floor, what kind of versatility do those two young guys provide?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, versatility is something that's going to be very important for us in our scouting moving forward. when you talk about those two guys in particular, both of those guys, I think, are capable of playing both positions, the four or the five. And it's going to depend, you know, if certain nights Miles may match up better with the other team's five. Some nights he may match up better with the other team's four, and vice versa with DeMontis. So, you know, both of those guys are capable of stepping out and shooting the ball. DeMontis is a tremendous screen setter, which is a very undervalued skill that I think is important to the NBA game today. For as much shooting and pick and roll play as there is taking place, guys who can consistently set a good screen. You know, he's willing to do the dirty work around the basket. You know, Miles has really stepped his game away from the basket, and I think as he matures as a player, he'll be doing more of that around the hole too, which is important for his development. But I think those guys are kind of interchangeable. There'd be certain nights where, you know, one guy might be more successful as the four and the other guy as the five, and next night it might be a flip-flop. So having that versatility is going to be a nice asset for Nate to work with.
As Kevin Pritchard took this job, he talked about getting guys that are competitive, that are fierce, that kind of style he wanted to implement a little bit more here. Last year, very often after a game, you do an interview and you know, you hear from a player or two that, you know, maybe we just didn't bring it enough tonight, or we didn't have it enough tonight. And I look at the roster now, and it seems like that is almost impossible to happen. And it's amazing how that transition has happened in 1 year.
It's, if you get hungry players, you're going to have a consistent effort every night. And over the course of 82 games, that can be a challenge. But if you have young players who are hungry to improve, who are hungry for an opportunity, like I feel like we have a lot of guys in that boat this year, you know, there's going to be nights where you're not going to play well. We have a lot of young players, and we're playing, you know, against some teams this year. Obviously, in our division alone, there's some very experienced teams. So there's going to be nights where you don't play as well. But I feel like we have the makeup of our roster right now. We have guys who are going to bring it every night. And while there, like I said, there may be nights where we don't make shots, or we don't play well, or we make mistakes that a young team will make, I'm not worried about our overall effort when it comes to our roster this year.
As this team makes this transitional period into this season and going forward, as someone in your position, how do you set goals? You obviously, in some ways, will know some players that might be available in free agency down the line, but a lot of that is an unknown, and it all happens very quickly. So what goals do you try to set to be ready for those moments?
Yeah, I think we're set up, you know, from a cap standpoint, we'll have a lot of flexibility, potentially a very large amount of flexibility next summer. Mm-hmm. But I think in the short term, we want to see guys improve each and every day. And we don't want to necessarily focus on the end result. We want to focus on each and every day doing the best you can, whether it be coming in the weight room, whether it be a player in a film session, whether it be practice, a shooting session, a game, whatever it is. We want to see guys focused on doing the little things the best they can every single day. And the next day you wake up and you try to do it a little better than you did yesterday. And that kind of philosophy and approach, I think, can lead to bigger things down the road. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves with this team or this organization. Obviously, we have long-term goals, but we want to focus on being the best we can every single day. And the next day, try to be a little better. And then just kind of like pound the rock. And before you know it, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road, hopefully we're competing for championships.
We mentioned at the very beginning of this that we're coming to you from the St. Vincent Center, and we are in your office, which overlooks the two practice courts. I mean, obviously, it's a beautiful facility, and I'm sure one that is great to come to work in every day. But from a, I don't know if recruiting is the right word, perspective, what can a building like this do?
In today's NBA game, you have to have the facilities to retain players and attract new players. And it also makes a statement to agents and players and just the NBA that, you know, our ownership is willing to invest into this organization, helping our team be successful. And our players, we've had, I mean, from top to bottom, every player has said something. This is just a phenomenal facility. I've had agents call who haven't even been in the facility who've heard about it. And, you know, we had our grand opening yesterday. People have come through and just, it's just a phenomenal building. And not only does it look phenomenal, it's the functionality of it is the most important thing for us. There's space for guys to train. There's two courts now instead of one court. So if you have guys want to play pickup on one court and other guys want to work individually with a coach or another player on another basket, you have the space for that. Our strength and conditioning staff has, you know, adequate amount of space to help guys get stronger, quicker, faster. Our training staff has all the up-to-date modern equipment to help prevent injuries and rehab injuries. So it's there's no reason for our guys to feel like, okay, we don't have this or we don't have that or we need that. So and it helps, like you touch on recruiting players. A big part of, you know, players talk around our league. They want to know, okay, what is it like being a Pacer? How do they treat you? How are their facilities? You know, how is their ownership? And we feel like we're in a position now where they're going to hear nothing but positive reviews when another player asks about what it means to be a Pacer and what it's like to be a Pacer.
When you got here, you came in such the heat of the off season. Things were really busy right when you got here. Have you had a chance to settle down a little bit, move into the city, just more from a personal perspective, settle in?
Yeah, I mean, the off season, it's the off season, but it's really the busy season.
You're on
season. Yeah,
yes, yes.
So it's the on season. I like that. So I have my wife and family. I actually have three young kids. Never moved from Portland when I was working in Charlotte. We were building a house in Charlotte, and before you know it, by the time the house got finished, this opportunity came about. So they never actually moved. So we did the cross country family for 3 years, which was difficult, but. Yeah. My wife was a saint for putting up with that. But we brought him to town last week. My wife didn't really know Indianapolis very well. My son is 12 years old. My daughter's 6, and we have a 10-month-old boy. So my daughter and my youngest son, obviously, they'll live in Alaska if I take them there. But my 12-year-old son was excited. You know, hey, this is basketball country. He's a big basketball guy. So we looked around, and I think we're going to end up, you know, building a house here in Indianapolis and really excited about getting ingrained in the community. And you know, my wife's from Iowa as well, so it's kind of close to home for both of us.
We certainly hope once that process comes to fruition that it all goes well and that this home you'll actually have a chance to live in and hopefully be here for the long term. Chad Buchanan, Pacers general manager, certainly appreciate your time. Best of luck going forward.
Thanks, Pat.